קובע את ההבר בפריים ברנבאום ודיין ועל הדיונם.
Morning. Thank you for having me this morning. The sugya of Kinyan Kesef is really divided into two basic parts, each with its own halachas. The Kinyan Kesef of karka, property, and metaltalin, each with its own set of halachas. The basic premise where we know that there is such a thing as a Kinyan Kesef is in and of itself. Machlekes Rishonim. Rashi learns from the pasuk of Mekesef Hiknasoi. And also on Kesef Hekomloi by Pidyon of Hekdesh. The Ran feels that you can't learn the halachas of a Hedyot from a Hekdesh. And the Ran says that the Ikar Mokah for the Deraisa is a Svara. The Svara is most Kinyonim that people do today are with money. And if that's the way people do transactions, it has to be that it's a Kinyon Deraisa. When acquiring Karka, obviously the major component of the Kinyon is the Kesef, the transfer of money. But in Shulchan Aruch, it's very clear that when in a Mokim Shekais and Shtar, in a place where nobody would transfer property without writing a proper contract, that also becomes an inherent part of the transfer. And without the Shtar, the Kesef is not a valid Kinyan. The Sma says that the reason is because nobody's Goy Medas, nobody's Seimach that there was a valid transfer until you get the Shtar. And today, that's obviously very applicable. Not so much the contract of sale, but the registration. The Pesukim talk about Tabo, which was the Turkish equivalent of the local county clerk. And if you don't register the property transferred by the county clerk, obviously nobody's going to be semich das that the hundreds of thousands of dollars that they just put down on the house really went anywhere. They think that they lost it. So until such time as the property was transferred from the meicha to the likayach, the Pesukim say it's not a valid transfer. Now the reason why we have to discuss exactly that it's a chesaron in the smichas das and not a chesaron in the kinyan is because sometimes one side will have the gemiras das when the other side won't. For instance, if there was a contract of sale and it was registered but the money wasn't transferred, or the money was transferred and there was no contract of sale that was registered, one side obviously has enough gemiras das and has enough of a comfort level to feel that everything is okay. He doesn't have what to worry about. It's the other side that has to worry. But because it's a problem of smichas das, because it's a problem of not validating the kinyan in its complete form, both sides still have the capability of backing out of the sale until such time as it's finished in its entirety. It's a very interesting case that once came to Beis Din, where somebody put down a deposit, went to a manager of an apartment building, and said, here's the deposit for the next available apartment. The next apartment became available, and the tenant came with a whole list of complaints. The refrigerator is too small, the stove is too dirty, the windows don't open, on, and as much as the manager would try to compensate, the problems are just never ending, till the manager said, you know something, have a good day. Go look for the next tenant, I just can't deal with you. The tenant, actually his wife, came into Beis Din screaming, Mishapara, I gave you money, I gave you a deposit, it's my apartment, you can't back out. So besides that, we'll discuss later on exactly what a deposit is and if a deposit counts as a kinyan or doesn't count as a kinyan. Because it's not only a question of Mishapara, which is Chazal's way of putting a kinyan on hold, but it's an actual problem in the kinyan itself, that nobody was going medas until you actually sign a lease. Rentals today in America, it is a Malkum Shem Kaysen Shtar. We always have a lease and a rental. Therefore, the money that was put down as deposit theoretically doesn't make any kinyan whatsoever until the lease is signed. And being that they had no lease, that was one of the reasons Beis Din felt that they have a right to send the tenant on their way. Another point that's very important, Benegeya Kinyan Kesef. Every time there's a Kinyan Kesef, the assumption is people sell property, whether it's karka or metaltalin, for the sake of getting money. Most people don't sell just for the kicks. And being that they sell for the money, as long as the money wasn't transferred, There's a musig in Chazal, there's a musig in Shulchan Aruch of Ayil V'Nofek Azuzi. Ayil V'Nofek Azuzi means that as long as I keep demanding and pestering, where is my money? Hello, I sold you something. Where's my money? Until such time as I get the money, I was never going to ask for the Kenyan. If the money's by Shlish, that's fine. As long as it was agreed upon by everybody, that's where it's going to stay. Based on... Okay, but usually it's an escrow agent that has terms of an escrow agreement, so whatever it is, that's what it is. And I feel comfortable that he's going to fulfill his duty. A shlish is actually a shliach of both parties. So he's my shliach also. I don't feel that I have the comfort level that he's working for me. Usually escrow agents do fulfill their obligation. But I open up a gazuzi as I sold you something, whether it's karko metalton, and I didn't get the full money, got half, quarter, third, whatever it may be, and I start telling you, demanding, where's my money, and I keep coming on a daily basis, or a steady basis, where is my money? Until such time as I get my money, Shulchan Aruch says, I have a right to back out. Both sides have a right to back out, depending on who backs out, it's Yodei Al Tachtayna. If the Meicha, the seller, is backing out, he could say, listen, I'm giving you the if the seller backs out, the lekeach could say, well, whatever money I gave you, I want that part. If not, then give me back everything. If the lekeach is the one backing out, he could say, listen, I'm giving you back all your money and I'm out of here because I only planned on selling the item in its entirety. There's no mishapara because the assumption in the sale is it was only for the money. If you're not fulfilling the money, what? That's true. It's a problem not being Ayim V'Diburi, but let's say he doesn't have money. It's in a case where there's no Mishapar. He doesn't have. He's stuck. He ran out, his stocks went under, whatever it may be. He doesn't have money. He can't fulfill his obligation. So you can't say, see, there's another case where somebody who claims to be a Rav because Bezdin had a victim 3 times from his apartment. Based on this claim, he went to a house, he rented the house, he put down a deposit, he paid the first month's rent, and then he stopped paying rent. He called him to Bez and said, why aren't you paying your rent? He says, well, I have a kinyan on the house, a kinyan schiris. I made a kinyan kesef, I have a lease, it's mine. Now I don't pay my rent. Okay, so I owe you the money. That's not a reason to throw me out. He tried this 3 times, and actually, I don't know if you're familiar with Rabbi Forsheim from Lakewood. He came to him and Rabbi Forsheim smiled and said, I know I don't know anything about Shulchan Aruch. I know I don't know anything about Chesh Mishpat. But if you don't pay rent, I'm throwing it on your head. Because you can't tell people that I'm not paying you, but I made a kinyan anyway. And it's clear in the Masivis this way. And the aside is that every kinyan is predicated on the fact that we're here to make a sale because I need money and you need the chafetz. If we're not going to follow through, then it was a mistake made, and there was no kinyan in the first place. Now, if whatever money I did give will be kind of half, or so that's up to the parties and whoever's the other al-yayna to figure out if he wants such a sale. But there are times that somebody's not interested. If I have a lot of something that I want to sell as a complete lot, and you paid me half, I'm not interested in selling half a lot. I don't have what to do with the other half. Then I'll be able to take back the other thing. The only exception to this case is somebody that's meichasod of bnei rasa. Where you know that somebody was on a fire sale, they absolutely had no use for the property, and therefore they wanted to get out whatever money they could. In this case, the Gemara is clear that even if he's ayel v'nofek azuzi, and even if he's pestering for his money, we know that the basic premise of the sale was, get me out of here, I have nothing to do with this, it's a lousy field, it's costing me more in insurance than it's worth to me, I'm getting rid of it. The money I'll discuss afterwards. Practical applications. Today, I don't really know of any. I don't know of any case where somebody sells something in distress just to get rid of the property looking for money as a secondary issue. Usually when somebody sells something, it's they want it. It could be in a case of real estate, where you'll have a short sale or something to that effect, where they're really trying to get the bank off their back, and it's not really the sale, it's not really because I need the money out, it's more I'm trying to get people off my back and I don't want to have anything to do with this anymore. That might be a valid case. You have to know the particulars. The Menachas Chinuch does say very clearly that this Yisai, that a Malkum Shakes and Shtar, a Kinyan Kesef alone will not work. He says it's a Dinderaisa. because this is not a takanas chazal like we're going to see by Mishapara. This is the actual smichas das that a person has b'shas they make a kinyan, and that's an integral part of a kinyan smichas das. In fact, it's the main part of every kinyan, is the fact that I'm being geimer das to sell something and you're being geimer das to acquire something. And therefore the Mechas Chinuch says it's a din deraisa with all its inherent chumras. That's as far as a kinyan kesef on karka. Before we discuss a kinyan kesef on metaltalin, and this is a point that many people have to get into their heads very clearly, that the American mentality is, first of all, that a return policy is for sure my right, it's my civil right, just like voting. If I buy something, I can return it for at least 90 days, a year, 2 years, or 3 years, depending on my mentality. It's not true. It's just not true. If there's a return policy in the store that's clearly defined and clearly posted, then yes, it was sold on the tenai of the return policy. If not, the minute you buy something, you pick it up and you walk out with it, it's yours. And no matter what happens to it, it's yours anyway. Unless there's an inherent defect that makes it a mekachtais, or you are overcharged and makes it a no. But anything short of that, it's yours, and you have no right to bring it back. By taking it back, what the store owner is doing for you, in effect, is buying it back from you. And it's mituv liboy, it's out of the goodness of his heart that he's doing so. He has no chiyuv and no responsibility. As an aside, it does get involved in Hilchos Ribbis. If I sell you something on condition that you will buy it back whenever I feel it's appropriate, that could be a problem of Ribbis, because in effect what I'm doing is I'm lending you the money and you're taking it and you're paying me back plus the usage of the item for the term that I keep the product, which is a shaila. Why it's not the case is a very long discussion, I'm not even sure, but the minhag ha'olam seems to be that a return policy is not a problem of ribbis. But before we get to the kinyan kesef, I want to discuss one nekuda that people don't always know. There's a musig in Chazal of magbi'a al menas lavakri. If I walk into your store, the case in Chazal is usually dishes, kelim, china, I walk into your store, I pick something up to look at it, it has a set price, we know what we're discussing, we know the price of the article, we know what I'm going to be paying for it, and I decide, yeah, I'm interested in taking this article, and all of a sudden it smashes. I'm chayiv to pay for it. Because the assumption was you're going to sell it, the assumption was I'm going to buy it, and at that point, it was a tchilas kinyan, we started the mekach, and oinsim are going to be my achrayas. It's also possibly mechayiv the mecha to sell it, because I took on the chiv oinsim. It's a different discussion. But at that point, when I took it, picked it up, and said, yes, I'm interested in buying it, and we knew what the price was, at that point, I do have a chiyav einsim. Practically speaking, this is halacha in Siman Reish Aleph, what's negeya for us is a very, very interesting shaila that I saw with my own eyes twice. Once was in Eretz Yisrael during the Gulf War. There's a huge supermarket, I don't know if it's still around, Degel HaTorah has their own supermarket in Givat Shaul. Huge shelves of food, and everybody was in panic mode. Guy rolled his cart down the aisle, stuck his hand on the shelf, and emptied it all straight into his cart. Everybody standing around said, what are you, crazy? Thousands of people in the store. Everybody needs food. It's a wartime now. Everybody needs food. And everybody started grabbing out of his cart. It's very possible anybody that took anything out of his cart was a ganav, because the price was clearly marked on the shelf. He was magbi al menas levakroi. He took it for the sake of buying, and if it would have smashed at that time, he would have been chayiv b'einsim. It's his. It's definitely his, b'negei anyone else in the store. It might not be his, b'negei the meicha, b'negei anyone else in the store. They definitely don't have a right to stick their hand in this car and walk out with it. So too, there was a snowstorm in New York, and there was a shortage of challahs on an Erev Shabbos. I saw this. A lady took 6 challahs, put it in her wagon, and somebody else walked by and said, excuse me, there's not enough challahs for everybody. 3 is more than enough for you, and took 3 out of a wagon. Sorry, it's hers. It's hers, and you have no right to touch them. Now, when those eggs get to the counter, you put it on the belt and it falls over and breaks, you have to pay for them also. Because there was a tchilas kinyan, and that is probably the minimum minus that Chazal and Mechayev. Might not be such a good policy for the store to be Mechayev somebody such a thing, but that is where the kinyan starts in any metalton that we're discussing.
You can't put it back on the shelf.
You could put it back on the shelf, because if you put it back on the shelf, then you mevatel the kinyan. That's the interesting aspect of this tchilas kinyan. because you weren't koine lagamri. You were only koine lagamri chivainzim. It's not a kinyan that it's yours yet, and obviously you have to pay for it, and you have to make a mashiach also afterwards. It's not yours till you pay, and mitakonos chazal, you have to make a mashiach. But you have that achrayas, and that achrayas, that's why I said it makes it yours when they get anyone else in the store. It's not yours when they get the store owner. So you have a chi of einsim, you'll have to pay for it. If you decide not to, it's your prerogative to be mevatel the kenyan. But you have to give it back, you have to put it back on the shelf. If you're not going to, if you put it in a place where it's at risk and it falls, that's your achrayas.
You can't leave your chalos in the meat section.
Right. You could very well be achray when the store owner finds it Sunday morning and it's worthless and stale, that you have to come back and pay him for it. It's pashtus, it's when you decide that this is what you want to take. The Lashon HaGemara is al menas levakrei, in order to look at it. Probably what the Gemara means by al menas levakrei is not just to look at which design I want and which pattern I want, but in the olden days, dishes were handmade. And when you bought one, you gave it a bang to make sure that it's stable, and you wanted to make sure that it was high quality. That's what it means. It means when you took it off the shelf and you said, if it's good quality, I'm taking it, and I just want to check it out, make sure it's not fragile. That's probably what the Gemara means at that point. So anything that we buy today, once you decide on your purchase and you put it in your cart, you would be included in that gedda. If you're just looking around and you want to look at them and compare, and that's nothing. Well, if you don't know what happened to it, how do you know?
I don't even know they took it out of my wagon.
It can't be.
It was in my wagon, but now it's gone.
So they're going to pay for it. So they're going to pay for it.
I don't know what happened. It's just not in my wagon.
Okay, you could probably assume it's somewhere in the store and somebody's going to be paying for it. It's only Yechi of Einzim that you're paying for. It's not mine. It's chances are it's somewhere here. Chances are somebody's paying for it. They wanted it.
Is that a set price if there's something that has to be weighed?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because I know how much I'm going to be paying for it. I'm going to be paying $9.99 a pound. We just have to figure out between us how many pounds it is. But we know what I'm paying. The Gemara is talking in the times of Chazal when nothing had a set price, and just because you were buying cheres, you came into the store and he judged you and figured out how much you're willing to pay for the item. And so I can answer. Yeah, I can answer. Unfortunately. So, you know, since I don't know how much you're going to be charging me, and you don't know how much I'm going to be paying, there's no gemiras das at all that I'm taking it, because if you don't come down to the price I'm willing to pay, I'm not willing to touch it. So even if I'm looking at it and touching it, I have no gemiras das until I know what it's worth. But here, if it's price per pound, we know very clearly what it's worth. It's only a question of paying for it, in fact. We might have to wait to figure out how many pounds it is, but we're not arguing on the Smichas Das and the Gemiras Das that we're going to follow through with the sale. Unless a person looks at a watermelon and he says, listen, I have $10 in my pocket. If it's going to be a $20 watermelon, then I can't take it. In such a case, it might not be Magbiyam Nasavakri, if the final price is going to be part of his decision. But usually that's not the case. Usually, whatever the final price is. It sounds like a deraisa.
What is that called? So far, we've
thought
about you. What's that called?
Kinyanu Magmir's Das. At the end of the day, we could talk about the Achrayinim from beginning to end and why Mashiach works and why Kesef works. Kinyanim are Gemir's Das. It's a transfer of my chayfets to your property. And as I'm going more and more Das, that it should be yours, more and more of the ownership is transferred to you. The chiddush here is that we could be stuck somewhere in the middle. That I made a partial, yeah. I understand. But this Gemiras Das, that we're here and we're about to finalize the sale, it's not a transfer of ownership, it's a transfer of chiyuvei einsim that come from ownership. Shmira.
What?
Shmira could be a chiyuvei einsim. Maazah could be a chiyuv einsim. There could be a lot of different chiyuv einsim. And one of them could be, because you took my article to buy, I'm willing to leave it by you.
So
yeah.
The new chiyuv einsim.
Mm-hmm. I'm willing to transfer it to you. I'm willing to leave it by you. I'm willing to let you hold on to it because you plan on buying it. And because you're willing to buy it, so you're going to have to give me something. You're going to have to reciprocate.
Wouldn't I have to make an offer?
Maybe.
Just sweep it off the shelf into the car, the car's not mine anyhow.
That's Mashiach. Okay, but you're taking it, once you take it into your rishus, you're taking it,
no,
it is, you took it, taking it off the shelf, and saying that, I want it, that's all it takes.
You put your name on the answer box, it's the same thing, right? You'll
your yeah, maybe. The problem is that nobody really is samech das, because until you take it to the rov, until you bring it back, until you find three other ones, everybody understands by nesek that there's really, really nothing saying that you're going to take it. Every single article has its own masal matan, its own way that people assume that the deal is done. By real estate, until closing, nobody thinks the deal is done. By an esrog, until after Yom Tov, nobody thinks the deal is done. Tomato sauce, basically, when you put it in your cart, it's over. You're going to end up by the cash register, you're going to pay, and you're going to walk out. No, but could I give it back? This is only for Chiyuv Einzim, but as we pointed out, if you want to give it back and put it back on the shelf, there's no problem. Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish is talking about a Kenyan, final, over, it's yours, and there's nothing you can do with it afterwards. You could beg him to take it back, and either he'll do so or he won't, but that's his own free volition.
So if the warehouse burns down, I gave the money, I didn't do the machine. Right?
Yeah.
So I said, I gave the money. Did I do this partial Kenyan? And
you did more than the partial Kenyan. It's a Kenyan Kesef, which we'll see is Minatayr is Chal, and Chazal were not Eikel Agamri. It stays for the Chiyuv Einzim. Yes?
The most common case in the store is that you go to the conveyor belt, you bring it up, you pay, and the previous guy takes you one of your bets.
Okay.
So I did have paid, but I was not yet Moshe here for paying.
Okay.
So according to what the Rav is saying, whose Hefsid is it? Is it the Baal of us Hefsid, or is the person who paid it didn't pick it up after the pay? Is that the price of the
volume? It broke after our account?
No, he's saying that somebody else walked out with it. Good question. Very possibly the store owner. Very possibly the store owner. Because you made a Kenyan Kesef and you didn't make a Mashiach. Yeah, an Achayis for Einzim. Einzim is if it's... No, the Einis... We'll see, we didn't get there yet. But when we talk about Mishapara, Kenyan Kesef, that I have to follow through with a Hagbo Mashiach, that means it's not mine until he gives it to me. He never gave it to me. He put it on the counter. I was meant to take it. I was meant to make agbo, but that never happened. And that's what it means, the Chazal Mavatal, the Kenyan Kesef. They said, until he actually hands me the item and I make another Kenyan on top of the Kenyan Kesef, it's not mine. That was only for a Chiyuv Einzim. That's only if it drops, if it breaks, if it smashes, I owe it to the store owner that I don't walk around like a bull in a china shop. No, somebody else walks out with it as Geneva. Let him go chase him.
When do you acquire the caterer system by yourself?
Probably when somebody eats it. Really? Seriously.
I thought you said that the guy in the back of the cart, the only other Kenyan that would have the answer.
Because I told you, that's B'nai Geya, Kaina and Meicha. B'nai Geya, a third party, because I have a Chiyuv Einzim, you have no right to take it away from me. That's my S'chus and the Chayfetz.
It's
not a ganav that you have to. He doesn't have a right to, right? That's true. You don't have a right to. No, you're not a really sick.
She has no right.
She has no right. No. Right.
Now, what about like the clear stash
for you do. It's automatic. It's automatic. That's mituv libam. But the way the transaction is structured, if you would ask Mr. Grosser that when he sees somebody walking down the aisle filling up his cart, each item he puts in the cart, he's assuming he's taking. And if you would ask every koina As you're walking down the aisle, what's your assumption when you're putting in the cart? Says, my assumption is I'm taking everything in my cart. It happens sometimes you decide you don't need something, you put it back, but the assumption, 99.9% of items that you put in your cart, the assumption is you're taking. That's what it takes. It doesn't take knowing that I'm going to become a chayy and I have a chiyuv einsim and now all of a sudden I have to watch these eggs with four eyes. You are going midas because you assume that you're going to be walking out with it. That's what it takes. Right, by putting it in the cart and saying I know that this is on my shopping list, that's what you assume is going to happen. The chiyuv einsim is when you put it in your cart. When you paid it, if you paid for it and you took it home, it's yours. Oh, you didn't pay for it? So then you have a chiyuv einsim. If you didn't pay for it, then you have a chiyuv einsim. But usually they take the money. Okay. When you pay for both and take it home, they're both yours. He's nice enough to take it, buy it back from you. But when you pay for it, it's yours. Your loss. Your loss. That's what you paid for it. You paid for it and you made a mashiach. That's yours. Then you only have a chiyuv einsim. Yeah. Okay. Now, talking about a kinyan metaltlin. So we learned the Gemara today. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbeinu, Vartera Ma'is Kainis. Menatera, you hand over the money, that's it. The thing is yours. Avol, Chazal were very worried that somebody is going to pay for something, leave it there till he can bring the delivery truck tomorrow. A fire is going to break out. He's going to tell him, Nisufu Chitecha Ba'aliyah, I'm sorry, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't be bothered waking up to save your wheat. It's gone. So Chazal Masakan also a kinyan mashiach hagbo, whatever it may be. The Gemara has machlekes and reichon reish lokesh. If mashiach is also menatera, or if it's a complete kinyan derabanan, it's a different discussion. But it's very important to realize Chazal will never eke the kinyan kesef lagamri. They did not go around saying that there's no such thing as a kinyan kesef anymore. It very much is a chelik of the kinyan. As we discussed, that the Ayelvan of Akazuzi, it takes two parts of the Kinyan to complete the Kinyan, both the Kinyan Kesef and the other Kinyan that the Rabbanim added to it. There are cases where Chazal said that we're going to leave the Kinyan Kesef as is. We're not going to change the Kinyan Kesef. One case is if the Chafetzim are in the Rishus Mas Kaina. For instance, Reuven rents space to Shimon. Warehouse space. Shimon then turns around and sells Reuven things that are in the warehouse that he's renting from him. In such a case, it's not appropriate to say Nisufritach Baliyah because the stuff is already sitting by the Kaina. In such a case, the Kinyan Kesef alone would be enough, and you wouldn't have to add. You wouldn't have to add a Kinyan Meshicha. Another case that Chazal talk about, which I can't find a real application today, but it's something that's good to know about. Somebody that's kind of almana, somebody that buys not for an inherent value, not for a fixed price, but for a bag full of coins. I heard that in 1967 in the Chevron, people told me that when they went to the Arab Shuk, you never paid with a 5 lira coin. That would be stupid. It was a little piece of silver. You paid with a big bag of copper agarot. That was how you bought something. You got infinitely more for it. So that would be a case of somebody that's nice of my mom. We're not sitting and discussing prices. I pick up a bag of copper. I say, here, can you give me that for this? And the guy has no clue how much money is in there. Takes the money. He gives you the chayfetz. Chazal said it's a milsa leishchicha. It's a weird type of sale. It's not a sale that Chazal were very comfortable with. And they said, listen, you made a kinyan kesef if it's yours. Let's move on. That Chinese auction? No, the real Chinese auction. Sealed boxes. Okay, but the Nesiva says very clearly that even though we might have today some situations that are Milsad Leishchicha, we can't assume that our Milsad Leishchicha is also something that Chazal wouldn't be gazed on. Whatever they told us, they told us. Whatever they didn't tell us, they didn't tell us. It's very hard to find a case where somebody sells something without a fixed price. I can't think of it. If you think of some.
If you were going to a regular auction, Sotheby's,
yeah,
and they didn't establish the price yet, they have an item to
not chayiv.
You won't be chayiv.
If it's an einus. I might be chayiv as a mazik, but if you're not chayiv as a mazik, you're not going to be chayiv as an einus. Another case where Chazal said that the kinyan kesef is fixed and it doesn't change is by a dvar mitzvah. Anytime you buy something for a dvar mitzvah, they said that the kinyan kesef is enough and you don't need any other thing. Chazal is talking about four times in a year that it was very, very necessary for Klal Yisrael to have meat, four different yamim tovim. There was a shortage, we needed meat. Chazal said that if you pay money for the meat, the tabach is mechuyev to shech the cow, even if he didn't end up selling the whole cow's worth, and even though he's going to suffer a great loss. You have to realize that there's an upside and a downside to both parties over here, because as a lekeach, you might be very, very happy that the $5 you gave for a pound of meat is going to get you a pound of meat, even though the poor farmer is going to have to shech the whole cow. The downside is that if the cow dies, it's your cow that died. It's not his cow. So, mele, you stand to lose. The Ramos says that this is not only applicable to a tabach, this is applicable to any mitzvah. He says, yayin, for kiddush, a person needs wine, and he goes into the store, a kinyan kesef would be enough, chalas for Shabbos, nachrenim say, is enough, anything that's negeye for a mitzvah. The Aruch HaShulchan says that it's not so simple, because yayin, kiddush, chalas, bread, all these things have a market tomorrow and the next day, and there's no real reason why we have to say now or never. Meat, Erev Yom Tov, I needed the meat today. The Tabach was trying to get rid of a cow today. This was the day to sell meat. The day Yom Tov was over, it was over. There was no point to it. So the Chashulchan says that that's why the Cholkim, the Mechaba, that's why he felt it wasn't so applicable. But at the end of the day, the Ramad does say that any Dvar Mitzvah, Kinyan Kesef, does work today. An Esrig that we discussed would be a case that even the Aruch HaShulchan would be maskim, according to his cheshbon, because the day of the Sukkah and Esrog has no value. So therefore, if the aside of Chazal telling us meat has a specific value today and not tomorrow, Esrogim would be one case of somebody that has a commodity, a sheifa, an Erev Hashanah is definitely worth a lot more than a sheifa the next day, and therefore he has every interest in selling it today and not tomorrow. I don't know what it means you sell aliyahs and shul. What are you buying? I don't know what it is. There's no kinyan, you're not buying anything. And if it would be, it would probably be Yosan Shabbos anyway. It's tzedakah. I promise tzedakah and the shul promises me an aliyah and we both walk away happy. But there's no kinyan involved.
This thing of stats works for goy?
For goy? Goy has their own...
Goy, the goy takes his kinyan, let's say, Pesach chametz.
That's Goy Kinyanim Chametz Erev Pesach is a mess. And the Ktzais already, he tries this way, that way. We throw all kinds of Kinyanim at him and hope one of them sticks. But really, it's. As far as shuls go, there is one interesting shayla, two interesting shaylas. When talking about selling seats in a shul, is that a Kinyan Kesef of Karka or Metaltalin? And the Pashas Nachrinim say that selling seats in a shul is Karka, and therefore the Kinyan itself would be the Kesef. Nachrinim speak out, if it's a shul that has a seating chart outside, and until your name goes up on that seating chart, or the little plaque on the chair, you don't really have Smichas Das, that would be a case of Makom Kaisen Shtar, and we would assume that it's not yours until it is registered, until such time as you feel that it's really yours. Karka, if you have a otzitz nokov, a flower pot with a hole in it, that's also something that has a din of karka. And if you'd be selling the tomatoes on the plant, that might be metaltalin. Once they're ripe, the pot itself with the hole in it wouldn't be karka, and it wouldn't be negei mishapara. It's late, I'm sorry. Just quickly to discuss some of the other shayas that might come up. I would have discussed it. Checks, credit cards, deposits. Each one of these, is this a Kinyan Kesef or is it not a Kinyan Kesef? The Achrenim say that if I buy something with a halva, that's not a Kinyan Kesef. If I'm buying with a credit card, what I'm in effect saying is, I'm borrowing money from him, using that money to pay you, but he never came through with the money yet. That's a very shmacha kinyan kedus. If a check, on the other hand, is paid to the order, it's a demand note. And demand note, I have money by somebody that I was mafkid by. I left money there. I'm telling you to pick it up. That would be much more shayich to a kinyan kesef.
You don't need the money there. There is no money there. We learned that when you have money in your account, the bank, you don't have any money.
That's very debatable. We could talk about this for hours. But let's just assume that the deposit, when I put a deposit down on something, am I putting the deposit down as kinyan kesef? Am I putting it down to consummate the purchase, or am I putting it down more b'teiras erovin as a guarantee that I'm going to go through with the purchase, and it's not really meant to be kinyan kesef? It's another whole shmuz we could talk about. Another shmuz is kinyan situmta. We all know that whatever the minig is in a place, that would count as a kinyan, and it's a big machlekes apeiskim and shvat shalom and the others, the maram shik. If kinyan kesef today, being that everybody does most of their transactions with money, would that count as a kinyan situmta, which in itself might also be a deraisa? Could be debatable. The maisa, the assumption by most, what they did is that kinyan kesef does not work. We still work with mishaparas and we still work with chusamana. We don't assume that just because everybody buys everything with money, that's just what it is. And one last thing, what? Yeah, very possibly. Once the guy got paid for it, it might not be. But if you run to the jeweler a half hour before Yechasna, it might be.
But how do you know the jeweler didn't buy any consignment himself? So even if you're giving kesef, you don't accomplish anything.
This is a problem. I want to tell you something. There was a meiches regim in Lakewood that once was carrying on about people not paying him. People don't pay for their sregim, and they're not yet to the mitzvah. And he was just carrying on. Until he walked over to him, I said, "Excuse me, sir, just tell me. Did you pay for this regim yet?" You know, before you're screaming about everyone else, I want to know where we're up to. Are this regim yours?
I don't understand what's the problem.
Because Ayel v'Nafik Azuzi.
What?
Because the sugi of Ayel v'Nafik Azuzi is that if somebody is makbet to get his money, then the king is not going to be chal until he gets it. So even if we want the Mashiach, we also want the kesef. What? You need both. Chazal will not. That's the deraisa. Depending on which community you live in, I assume in Passaic a check has Gemir's Das. Okay, but if it's only a kinyan derabanan, Mashiach, if will it work for deraisa? Will it work for deraisa to be mekadosh nisha? That's the shaila. Because if you need the deraisa of kesef, yeah, hagbah Mashiach is the same thing. It's the same machlekas. When we pass kinyan derabanan, you only have a kinyan derabanan. You would need das for a kinyan chotz anyway.
Right.
If you want to use it for their eyes, if you want to buy your esrog with it, if you want to buy. What? Right. Okay, that's not so true, because even if not, there's shinu rishus, and even if he doesn't end up paying, gezel with yish and shinu rishus would work. So you could buy it from him. Even what? What? Even if it would be Geneva, and it would be Yish and Shin Rishon, even if it would be, I'm saying if he doesn't end up paying for it ever, so it's Geneva. Worst case scenario, it's Geneva. The guy is Miyayish and the Shin Rishon. So we'll have to assume that that's not true. The question is why. Okay.
That's true. It is a symptom of the child's symptom towards her.